Blog Talk Radio.
My only hope must be in Jesus, to lose the burden of my sin. There is no
precious saints of God, I hope you're all doing well. As for me, on this beautiful Saturday, rejoicing, happy in the Lord to be in studio, to be with you, we are looking at this series entitled Open Thy Mouth Wide in Prayer and God Will Fill It. That is Psalm 81, verse 10. Open thy mouth wide. You have a mouth? Open it wide. Open it wide in what? Open it wide in prayer. And I, the Lord, who delivered you out of Egypt, I will fill your mouth. I will take the bitter taste that's in your mouth today and put sweetness in the place of bitterness. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today and we praise your name, your Lord, because you have given us a means of coming to you, and it's called prayer. We have direct access to you. We don't have to go through middle people. We don't have to go through three secretaries to get to you. We don't have to go through an answering service to get to you. We don't need to hear our calls go to voicemail. No, no, no. We have direct access to God. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We love you, Lord. Bless us today in the study, we pray. We, Lord, are coming close and drawing near to you. We're coming to the throne of grace to open our mouths wide that you may fill it with laughter, joy in the Holy Spirit. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. In this study, we are looking at the raven. The raven. The raven, out of all birds, the raven has a special relationship with God. It's recorded in the Bible. Let me say this again. The raven, that unclean bird. You know, when you read the book of Leviticus, and it classifies clean and unclean animals. The raven falls under the unclean classification, and yet that bird, the raven, the blackbird, has a unique relationship with the Lord. The raven is the one bird that we know scripturally prays. The raven prays, and God answers the raven's prayers. Now, in Job 38:41, we learned yesterday, as God was posing a series of questions to Job, who provides for the raven his food? When his young ones, when his hatchlings, his newborns, his infants cry aloud, cry for help, cry out of utter despair. Who provides them their food when they cry out to me in sanctified prayer? Is it not the Lord? Is it not God who made them? Yes. If you recall, we have pictures here in your outline of the ravens, the baby hatchlings, with their mouths wide open. You can't get any wider than that. Wide open. This is what the psalmist is telling us in Psalm 81:10. This is what God is conveying to us in Psalm 81:10. God is the one speaking in Psalm 81:10. He says, open your mouth wide. If you want a picture of that, there's two in your outline. There's the raven with mouths wide open. In Job 38:41, it is the hatchling who is crying out to God, crying aloud, making a racket, making a lot of noise. Do you remember when your children were newborns and they were hungry at 2 in the morning? How did you know your baby was hungry at 2 in the morning? It cried. It began to cry for food. And what did you do? Did you ignore your baby? Did you remain sleeping when your baby was crying? Absolutely not. You ran to that child and you prepared a bottle. You prepared a bottle for your baby. And so that's what God does. When the baby ravens cry out to him, when the hatchlings, the infants cry out to him, when those little ones cry out to him, and look at them, they're so hungry. And their mouths are wide open. He says, open your mouth wide. Open your mouth wide, and I will do what? I will fill it. That old saying, the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the oil. If you don't squeak, if you don't make noise, if you don't make a racket, if you're not loud, you don't get the oil. The more noise you make, the more racket you make, the faster mom and dad come to you with a bottle. Open your mouth wide, says the Lord, and I will do what? What am I going to do? Let you starve? Let you cry? Ignore you? No. I will fill your mouth with what? With what you are asking me for. You can be opening up your mouth wide and asking God for healing. Perhaps you got a bad report from the doctor. Perhaps the doctor gave you some news that you didn't want to hear, and it's bad. Well, open your mouth wide, says God. Claim your healing. Call on me for your healing, and I will fill your mouth with what? Divine medicine. Perhaps you need a job. Perhaps you're broke. Perhaps your bills are piling up. Perhaps, just perhaps, you have gone to 10 job interviews and no one's called you yet. So your bills aren't piling up because you're lazy. You want to work. It's just nothing's opened up for you. Well, cry out to God in desperation. Cry out to your Heavenly Father. And he will fill your mouth. He'll give you that job. He'll give you that employment that you so desperately need. Your bills that are piling up will soon be erased. They will soon diminish when you start getting your paychecks with the new job that God has provided you with. Open your mouth wide. Open your mouth wide. And I will do what? I will fill it. So, today we're looking at Psalm 147, verse 9. Psalm 147, verse 9. Let's go there. Let's go to Psalm 147, verse 9. Because here again, it says, he, referring to God, gives to the beast his food. What beast? Well, the buffalo. What beast? The lion. Whatever beast, the bear, the brown bear, the black bear, the hyena, the jackal, the fox, the wolf. There are all kinds of beasts. There are beasts in the woods, beasts in the jungle, beasts in the swamps. You name it. All over this world, there are all kinds of beasts. Who feeds these beasts? God feeds the beast. He's the one who gives the beast his food, his rations. And don't forget, and to the young ravens which cry. God takes care. Again, here's another text telling you that God takes care of the young ravens which cry out to him. So, let's look at Psalm 147 as a whole. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 has three stanzas in it. Three. The first stanza is Psalm 147, verses 1 through 6. That's the first stanza. First stanza, verses 1 through 6. The second stanza from verses 7 through 11. And the third and final stanza is verses 12 through 20. In all of these three stanzas, they begin with a call to praise the Lord. Why do we praise the Lord? Well, the answer is obvious. Because the Lord is worthy to be praised. That's why we praise the Lord. On Sunday mornings, we talk about joys. Why do we refer to, why do we bring up, why do we mention the joys? Well, because joys were once concerns. Joys were once prayer request. Joys were once a cry. Cry that God has heard, and now he's answered. When God hears our cries and answers them, our cries become what? Joys. Our concerns become what? Joys. We're full of praise. We're full of happiness. Why? Because God has answered what concerned us. So there are three stanzas. Again, Psalm 147 has three stanzas. There are 20 verses. From verse 1 through 6 is the first stanza. From verses 7 through 11, the second stanza. And from verses 12 through 20, the third stanza and final stanza. So let's read Psalm 147 in its entirety. Psalm 147, starting at verse 1. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful.
It starts out with a call, not a call to prayer, but a call to praise. We're being summoned. There's a convocation. We're being called to an assembly, and this assembly now is going to praise the Lord. Why? Why do we praise the Lord? Well, it gives us the reasons in this section. Why do we praise the Lord? Well, because he builds the church. He builds up Jerusalem.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground.
So that's the first stanza. The first stanza is we need to praise the Lord. Why? Because he's building his church. He's bringing back backsliders. He's getting rid of the troublemakers in the church. That's why we need to praise the Lord. Now, in the second stanza, we praise God because he's the God of creation. He takes care of creation. Here it is from verses 7 through 11.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy.
See, God doesn't look at your physical appearance and approve of you based on your stature, your muscles, your intellect. No. God takes notice of you if you are broken and contrite of heart. He's merciful to the meek. God hears the prayers of those who draw near to him. If you're proud and arrogant and you're full of yourself and you think you're all that, forget it. If you think you're like the horse or the well-built bodybuilder, forget it. If you are humble and you come before the Lord and you prostrate yourself before him, he takes notice of you and he will lift you up out of your mess. And for that, he needs to be praised. Now from verses 12 through 20 is the last stanza. Let's read.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his commands to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his winds to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord.
Why should we praise the Lord in this third stanza? Because no one can oppose his decrees and his will. God has favored the church. God has put his eyes, set his eyes favorably upon his people. And when the enemies come to attack, God sends the command, God sends the decree, and the foe is defeated and the church victorious. That's why he should be praised. So our text today comes in the second stanza. Why do we praise the Lord in the second stanza? Because he's the wonderful God who provides for all of his creatures. He provides for all of his creation. Does he care for the beast of the field? Yes. He gives the beast his food and also to the fowls of the air. But in particular, God cares for the young raven which cry. So let's do a contrast. Let's look at Job 38:41 first. It says, Job 38:41, if you look at yesterday's notes, yesterday's scripture, the question God posed to Job, who provides for the raven his food when his young ones cry? Now, the word young ones there is hatchlings, infants, newborns. The word cry is the Hebrew word sawa. It's spelled, if you transliterate the Hebrew letters into English, S-A-W-A. The word sawa means to cry aloud, to cry for help, to cry out of utter despair. But notice in Psalm 147, verse 9, it says, and to the young ravens, the word young there in Psalm 147 is different from in Job 38:41. Young in Job 38:41 is the Hebrew noun yeled. Y-E-L-E-D, yeled, yeled. That is infant, child, newborn, hatchling. But young one in Psalm 147 verse 9, and to the young ravens, young there is the word ben, B-E-N, ben, ben, ben. That word can be translated teenager, teenager. So notice, in Job 38:41, God takes care of the raven when it's an infant. But now in Psalm 147, God takes care of the raven when he's a young teenager. When a young teenager still cannot fend for themselves. You know, teenagers can't fend for themselves. This is why they still live at home with mom and dad. Now, young here doesn't mean young adult. If you're a young adult, you have your own place. You pay your own bills. But this is not young adult. This is young teenager. The word Ben. When David defeated Goliath in that battle in 1 Samuel 17, King Saul asked, who does this strapling, who does this teenager belong to? And the response was, this is David Ben Jesse. David, the teenager who belongs to Jesse. Jesse's the father, David Ben Jesse. David was just a strapling. He was a bony teenager. Maybe no facial hair yet. Maybe he had no sideburns. Maybe, you know, just developing, scrawny little teenager, nothing to write home about. Well, that's the same word used here for the ravens in Psalm 147. So in Job 38, God takes care of the baby ravens. In Psalm 147, he is still taking care of the raven when the raven is a teenager and cannot fend for itself. Now, why is it that the young raven, the young teenage raven, is crying out to God? Well, naturalists, people who study birds, tell us that as soon as the raven gets to the teenage, to the time it's supposed to leave the nest, mom and dad raven, as soon as that raven is supposed to be on its own, as soon as it becomes a teenager, at whatever point in time mom and dad feel that he's of teenage age world, in that world of fowls, birds, mom and dad who loved the baby hatchling and who cared for the baby hatchling and who protected the baby hatchling wants the baby hatchling to move now that it's a teenager. So what mom and dad start to do is they start a series of peckings. Mom pecks the baby. You know, ravens have these big beaks. And so mama raven comes and she pecks the baby pretty hard on the head. Well, he's not a baby anymore. He's a teenager. She pecks him. And maybe 2 minutes later or 3 minutes later, dad comes along and gives the raven another peck in the head. This is what naturalists tell us, people who study the ravens, people who study birds. So mom comes first or dad, whichever one, they start pecking the raven on the head. And this pecking intensifies. Over a number of days, they start out slow. They start out with one peck, and then daddy comes along another peck, and mama comes along another peck. But baby doesn't, the teenager doesn't get it yet. The teenager still wants to be down in the basement, sleeping in the sofa, playing video games. And so here comes mama raven. She does, the pecking intensifies on her part, and daddy's pecking intensifies on his part. Eventually, Junior can't take the peckings anymore. He's got a swollen head, swollen eyeballs, so much pecking, massive headache. Tylenol isn't helping Junior. Mom keeps pecking him. Daddy keeps pecking him. And Junior says, I don't understand. You guys loved me. You guys took care of me. You guys fed me. But now you're kicking me out of the house. Exactly. It's time for you to fend for yourself. So the teenage raven goes to another tree, but that's not good enough. Just because you move from one tree to another is not good enough, the naturalists tell us. So the mother and father follow the raven to the next tree. And they peck him there until he leaves that tree. And then the raven goes to a third tree. And mom and dad follow him there, and they continue to peck him until he leaves the third tree. And that goes on until he's out of the neighborhood. If you lived in St. Johnsville and you were a raven, mom and dad keep pecking you. And maybe in the beginning in St. Johnsville, you go to Dodgeville. And mom and dad follow you to Dodgeville, and they keep pecking you until you get to Little Falls. And once you get to Little Falls, mom and dad follow you there, and they keep pecking you until you get to Herkimer. And you get to Herkimer, and mom and dad keep pecking you there until you get to Utica. And once you're in Utica, okay, he's gone. He's no longer in our lives. He's no longer in our nest. Now, once you're in Utica, mom and dad leave you. Now what happens? You get hungry. The problem is you're not in mom and dad's house anymore. You're not in their nest anymore. You're not under their care anymore. So now the teenage raven, so far away from home, never to return, the door slammed shut in his face. He has no choice but to do what he did when he was a hatchling. He cries out to God. Now, this word cry is not the same Hebrew word as the word cry in Job 38:41. In Job 38:41, it's the word sawa, S-A-W-A. To cry aloud, to cry for help, a cry of utter despair. That's not, it's not the same word here in Psalm 140. 7 verse 9. Here the word is kara, Q-A-R-A. And this word means to invoke, to name, to summon. That's where we get the word invocation. What's an invocation? Well, it's an opening prayer. This is what we do on Sundays. And on Sundays, I get up after the first hymn is sung or the introductory hymn, a portion of the introductory hymn is sung. You'll notice that I'll stand behind the pulpit and I'll do the opening prayer. It's an invocation. I am calling on God. I am mentioning his name. I'm summoning him. I'm invoking him. I'm inviting him to do what? To come down and meet our needs. The teenage raven now starts having church wherever he's living. Whatever branch he's on over there in Utica, so far away from St. Johnsville. Oh, that bird is so far away from St. Johnsville. And now this inexperienced teenage bird who is not very good at finding food is just on his own for the first time. There's no mommy there to support him. There's no daddy there to support him. Mom and dad are not there for you to fall back on. Mom and dad have kicked you out. They have pushed you out of the nest. You are on your own. Now you learn. Now you learn how to pray. Now you show up at the prayer meeting. Now you learn how to summon and how to call upon God. Now you get real serious. Why? Because if you don't eat, it's over. Game over. So notice, who is the one who gives the beast his food? God. Who is the one who feeds the teenage raven who has recently been kicked out of the nest? Who's the one who feeds them? God. When does he feed them? When that raven learns to pray and open his mouth wide again. You see, my brothers and sisters, in different stages of life, you got to learn how to open your mouth wide for God to fill it. And he will. See, all throughout life, when you're in your teens, you ought to learn how to call on God. When you're a child in church, when you're a child, they should allow you to pray in church. When you're sick at home as a child, mom and dad, after praying for you, should say, well, why don't you pray to Jesus and ask him to heal you? See, teach your children how to pray, how to call upon God, how to cry aloud to the Lord. And then when they become teenagers, teach them how to pray. How do you teach them? Don't give them everything. Don't give your children everything. Allow them to turn to their Heavenly Father and say, well, you know, I kind of feel guilty because I'm the father, you know, and I ought to be providing for my kids. I'm not telling you don't provide, but don't provide everything. Start removing the scaffolding. Your kids are too comfortable. Your kids feel, I can always be in mom and dad's basement. I always have mom and dad to fall on. That's true, but don't let them think that. Make it tough on them. Let them turn to God in prayer. Let them turn to their Heavenly Father. Then as young adults, when they get married, they should learn how to call on God. When they're adults, let them call on God. When they're seniors, let them call on God. See, in every stage of life, we are to open our mouths wide for God. Have you ever wondered why? Out of all the birds that God could have used to send to Elijah, have you ever asked yourself, why did he send that dirty bird, the raven? You know, the raven, the prophet Elijah is a Jew. He's a Hebrew. Hebrews are not supposed to mingle with unclean things. But here is God. God didn't send doves to feed Elijah. He didn't send other clean birds to feed Elijah. You know who God sent? He didn't send chickens or a rooster or a turkey. God, no. What did God send? Ravens. Why? Because ravens owe God. They owe him. Because ravens have this special relationship with the Lord. Ravens pray. And God answers their prayer. And when there's a praying prophet like Elijah, and Elijah needs answers to prayers, God says, hey, birds, hey, ravens, I met your needs. Now I need to dispatch you to meet the needs of my prophet. Let's turn to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings. Chapter 17, verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink water from the brook. And I have commanded, there's that word, I've commanded. I've commissioned them. I've commissioned whom? Chickens? Turkeys? No. Quail? No, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Why? Because whenever they cried out to me when they were hungry, I fed them. Now they are to return the favor. They're in my employ. So Elijah went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and he dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan's. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and they brought him bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Oh, my brothers and sisters, open your mouth wide. People say to me, Pastor, how do you do it? Pastor, how do you do what you do? Oh, I've learned to open my mouth wide. I've learned that God has me covered. all I have. I don't have to chase people down. I don't have to give them a sob story. I don't have to cry. I don't have to lift up my shirt and show them my ribs. Oh, look at me. I'm starting. No. All I got to do is do like the raven. The ravens cry. They cry in every stage of their life. And God feeds them. Ravens pray, and God meets their needs. Ravens pray loudly. They pray in faith, and God comes through for them. For those that come to God must believe that he is. Oh, how that little hatchling can teach us so much about who God is. Those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. We're going to leave it there. We'll be back tomorrow to finish this series. I hope you have been blessed. I have. Isn't the word of God awesome? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it filled with wonderful truths? Amen.
You are my rock and my salvation. In your great kindness, your wondrous deeds, I praise your name. I stand beside you. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. I'll follow you, Lord. Show me the way. I'll praise your name. I'll praise your name. I'll stand beside you. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Praise your name. I stand beside you. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. I'll follow you, Lord. Show me the way. I praise your name. I praise your name. I stand beside you. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. I'll follow you, Lord. Show me the way. I praise your name. I praise your name. I stand beside you. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way.